Hey, welcome to the Gravity Falls Gosper Podcast. It's the podcast about Gravity Falls and, you know, life and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm Eugene. With me is Chris.
Hey.
Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
This is the second episode, and it is about the legend of the Gobblewonker, which, as we said on the last episode of this podcast, is maybe, it's definitely one of our favorite episodes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's incredible. I have definitely watched this episode. This is probably the one I've watched the most.
This is also the one that, this is the first episode I watched with my little cousin, who is a little 11-year-old girl who is right at that perfect about to be Mabel age. And like, this is the one we watched together, and it was really awesome.
So we are going to watch the episode as we do every week. We watch it. We don't record while we're watching it. We stop the recording. We watch it. We come back. We talk about it. And today we're going to talk probably about family
stuff,
being embarrassed by our families,
fishing,
and older people, fishing, disposable cameras, yeah, and things like that. But if you want more information, gravityfallsgosper.com. The Tumblr is there. GF GossiperCast on Twitter. gravityfallsgossiper at gmail.com. Yeah.
Remember that there is only one P in Gossiper.
No, there's two.
It's two?
Oh, no, one P. I'm sorry. You're right.
I was going off what you said
you're right,
podcast.
It is right. GOSSIPER, which always looks like
looks
it's
wrong.
Completely wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Friday nights, 8:30 Disney Channel. You can also get it on iTunes and all that stuff. Look, if you're here, and we should say this at the top, if you are here and you've not watched episode 2, The Legend of the Gobblewonker, we are going to massively spoil it.
Yeah. Always be sure you have seen the episode we're going to be talking about before we start talking.
Not only are we going to massively spoil it, this will be wholly unenjoyable to you.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you're not going to like this at all.
Okay, so... Yeah, I said all the links, right? Yeah. Okay.
I said all the links. Yeah,
whatever. So we're going to stop. We're going to watch the episode. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to make memories. And we will be back to talk about the Gobblewonker, which is a word I just want to say as many times as possible in this episode.
Gobblewonker.
So we'll see you guys in a second.
We're at the dance party for no reason! Go, 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 go.
All right, we're back. Running around in our human-sized hamster balls. And we just watched The Legend of the Gobblewonker.
I said something about this on Twitter about how I wanted to make so many bootleg Gravity Falls t-shirts just for myself to wear. But I really do want to make one that just says, I'm human-sized.
It's weird, and I'm sure we'll get more into this later, but it's between this one and the most recent one that are my favorite episodes.
Okay.
And this one might be number one for a number of reasons. So
this one is definitely one of my favorites. I won't talk about which one is my other favorite until we get to it.
So one of the cool things about this episode is that it's really amazing how bad you feel for Grunkle Stan in it.
Yeah,
because
even though
he is
a...
Like, in the first pilot episode, he is a totally just horrible person to these kids, like, in every imaginable way. And then there's a moment in this where you feel horrible for him.
The moment when he boos that other happy family is just, I feel like that's a real character-defining moment where I'm like, I'm on this guy's side.
But we were talking about this as we ended, because I've never really watched the credits that closely. What is that little code at the end of each of the credits?
Okay, so at the end of every episode, at the last thing they show on the credits, there is a little encoded message that you have to decipher that is a clue to
something
or says something. Now, I've intentionally
not
done it yet. I've stayed away from, and I know there's tons of Gravity Falls, like, trying to crack the mysteries.
There's a backwards vocal sample in the opening theme, which you can actually strangely hear in our opening theme, which is the same theme.
Yeah.
And I know that one says, Grunkle Stan is not what he seems.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Something. We're not here to decipher the. We're not trying to solve the mysteries yet.
Although, at a certain point,
eventually we
will
start. And especially as the show goes on and the mysteries start becoming more clear, we will start talking about what they are. But at this point, we're just talking about the show. And
well, you also raise an interesting point right before the credits hit, where that monster eats the camera that, I guess, who throws it over? I don't know.
Well, no, they hit that bump and Dipper drops it.
So the you actually raised the point to me saying, do you think that's a real Gobble Wonker or that's just the same robotic Gobble Wonker that's now eating it? And I actually always took it to be a real Gobble Wonker.
That's how I
monster.
Took it, yeah. But I wanted to see, I wanted to make sure you felt the same way.
No, no. And like, I was telling Chris earlier that I really hope there is like some ultimate episode where like everything comes back, like the real Gobble Wonker comes back and all the gnomes come back and it's just like this overload of everything. So
I think everything we've seen, and of course, like if you're listening to this and you've only seen up till episode 2, you wouldn't have this information, but we're through what?
6.
Episode 6. So we've seen a lot of things where there's stuff. We don't have any kind of inside knowledge, but I think it definitely seems like everything is building to a greater story than just these one-offs.
What's the best joke in the episode? What's your favorite joke in the episode?
Ooh.
This is a hilarious, like,
this is a really hilarious.
There's so
episode.
Much stuff in this, and I actually think that my favorite moment in the episode is when Mabel busts through in the human hamster ball when Dipper's getting interviewed and she has flies around her and is looking ragged and crazy and she smashes the table and they flash back and she's smiling because that's what her happy memory of having the...
They're both excited about that being the turnout. I don't know, man. There's so many good lines in this episode. It's really hard to pick a favorite thing.
I would really love to like talk to whoever was the main writer and ask them exactly where they got the inspiration to make those other animated style guys in the Corvette when Mabel is in the hamster ball also. Because that is another moment that is so jarring because you're so used to seeing this world.
This one particular style.
And all of a sudden it is the worst looking like creepy 80s guys.
I like that her dream world kind of looks like the animation from the 80s Ninja Turtles cartoon. Like that's what's fabulous to her. And that those guys have that like that crazy like blue hair.
Yeah.
And man, we should have been taking notes during the episode.
We will next time.
Next time we'll take notes.
We were actually like, lively commenting to each other through the microphones while we were watching it. So,
but we didn't record any of that.
You don't want to. Yeah, you
don't
want to
hear that.
You don't want us to do riff tracks because all it's going to be is us laughing and us going, "Ha, that was awesome." But
I'm still trying to think of like what some of my favorite. Well, obviously
the camera bit.
The camera bit is one of the funniest things I think I've seen in anything. But the it's not a it's a jig of grave danger. Well, and we're starting to see some of the same recurring background characters. We've seen Lazy Susan for the second time now. We see Manly Dan for the first time. We see Toby for the first time, who's going to come into play big time. Is it the next episode or episode after that?
It's next episode.
Next episode. We see Manly Dan's biggest fan, who is one of my favorite characters on the show.
I don't know whether to be proud or mildly ashamed that we sound like experts on this and we have never once sat down and actually like intensely read things about it. We just know these things.
Yeah, I have not read any of the stuff. Like, I haven't looked at the Wikipedia. I haven't read any of those websites that I know are out there trying to decipher all the clues. We got problems.
So one thing that we did not talk about in the first episode, mostly because they were battling. Also, if you listen to this episode, I'm going to assume you've seen the episodes before it. So whatever.
Yeah.
Also,
one thing I just remembered we didn't talk about from the first episode was the rock that looks like a face rock.
That's like one of your favorite bits from the entire series. So does it look like, are you saying it looks like a, so you're saying it's a face?
No, it's a rock. Is it a face? No.
It's a face that looks like a rock. A rock that looks like a face. We didn't talk about this in the first episode so much because they were running from a gigantic gnome made of gnomes that were shooting other gnomes. So it's not exactly like danger. I mean, it's dangerous, but it's like kind of silly.
Yeah.
But like in this episode, and it'll come into play, especially in the next one.
Yeah.
But in other episodes where like the characters in this show are in grave danger and they are 12-year-old kids. Yeah. Like there is a scene where the Gobble Wonker is chasing them through the woods and it knocks down a tree and Dipper has to literally like roll and grab Mabel so she doesn't get
smashed.
Brutally crushed by a gigantic pine tree.
And I think that's another part of why this show feels kind of, it doesn't just feel like vapid entertainment is because you're like, oh, these kids, it's silly danger because they're being chased by a giant monster, but they're in real danger.
Yeah. This was also the first episode where Seuss got to do a lot, which
the SS cool dude is one of my favorite things. And when it cuts over and you just see him dancing,
who is also voiced by creator Alex Hirsch, who also does Grunkle Stan. Which is funny because, like, we've talked about this separately. You know, one of the reasons why we do this podcast is because we talk about this show all the time.
We talked about this show so much, we were like, we might as well just start recording this.
But, like, yeah, it's weird how Wendy does not really come into play until fifth episode, and Seuss is a lot in the second. Like, he's one of the main dudes in the second episode, and he has one of the greatest lines where he says, I guess you guys are the real lake monster. And then he congratulates himself on thinking it up. Is there anything else you want to talk about from this? The glass is a great, it's the stupidest gag.
And that's another one of the things where, like, you can see, and we've talked about this, but, like, the pedigree of greatness of people who work on this show, that glass bit, why that is so funny. I mean, that's funny to kids, certainly, but the why that is so funny is going to be completely over kids' heads. And again, that just goes back to this being such an amazing all ages, in the true, you know, meaning of that, a great all ages show.
Well, I mean, the whole camera, crushing the cameras bit is like a finely tuned comedy sketch.
Yeah. The timing on that is amazing.
It could have been in Kids in the Hall or SNL or anything like that, and it would have been as fun. I mean, I don't know if it would have been as funny, but it would have been funny. Like, it's a greatly executed timing.
You could have seen that camera bit on The Simpsons, and it would have been like an all time. If that had been in, like, you know, one of the early seasons of season like 8 of The Simpsons or something like that, you would have been like, that's one of their all-time greatest bits.
But, like, we need to stop saying we talked about this and just assume that everyone knows we have talked about something like this.
Look, everything that's happening, we have talked about a lot.
But you, Chris is an artist, and it's funny because a lot of comic artists that we know are into the show for obvious reasons. I mean, it is up the alley of anybody who makes indie comics or likes comics to
anybody who likes good-looking things.
Yeah. So a lot of artists talk about how beautiful the show is and, like, what are some of the reasons why the show looks so good?
There's a level of quality put into making everything seem, not the same, but, like, making everything look like it belongs together. How much time and effort and detail is put into making those backgrounds just beautiful? The lighting on this show. I watched this time, and Rough Draft is the animation studio that actually does the animation for this show, and that's a great studio, and they're obviously doing bang-up work on this. But it's like, whoever's in charge of... I know that... I started to say I know some of the name, but I'm not going to try to, like, list off a bunch of the names from the credits because you can just look at that stuff. But, like, a lot of the people on the show are obviously putting in tons of effort and heart into making the show look better than it really has any business looking for what is basically a kid's show. So hats off to everybody involved in this for making this look good. Like, the animation on the characters is simple enough while still being... really fluid and, like, dynamic and looking great. But,
well, I mean, the whole bit about when they... I mean, first of all, it's all on a lake, this episode. And then it goes to that Scuttlebutt Island, which we have not even mentioned yet. The name of it is Scuttlebutt Island. But which is a totally, like, fogged out, gray, dark area. And, like, they come back during sunset. And, like, it looks...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That dusk, you're like, I want to go visit this place.
Yeah. Oregon,
yeah.
It's real, right?
We can go there. It has to be, right?
I mean, it's only a matter of time before an actual mystery shack is built up somewhere in Oregon. And then we're going to go there.
Or we're going to build
it. Or we're
going
to be the guys that work there. We're going to be cosplaying the whole time. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we haven't talked about before we get to what the theme is.
We should have taken notes.
Yeah, we should have taken notes. I do like that the ranger guy is is reading Stoic Monthly
when he closes the blinds on his dad trying to get him to play catch with him,
which is, like, only adding to, like, we gotta keep track to see if there is a terrible magazine title in every single episode.
You mean an amazing magazine title?
There might be. Well, they're two for two for so
far. All right,
far.
So Gold Chain's
for Old Men magazine.
Magazine
Stoic Monthly. So So the theme of this episode is very obviously family, and it's being, I don't know, like embarrassed by your parents or your family, or you know, like obligation, hating obligation of hanging out with your family, things like that.
Well, there's also, this is like kind of a pretty heavy thing to think about, because it's not just about like being embarrassed about your family, but it's the thing of your much older family, like your grandparents or your, you know, because it's the one guy's dad, but he's a grown up.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, Dipper and Mabel are embarrassed by their old Uncle Stan. And it's like more the thing of not just family. I mean, it is being embarrassed by your family, but it's that thing of like, especially how kids have such a hard time relating to their older family. And that's like some pretty heavy stuff for a kid's. I mean, even though this episode is hilarious, it's like that's some, there's definitely some stuff in there that got me thinking by the end of it, where I was going like, man, I really should try to talk to my grandmother more.
Or well,
like,
it's not, and it's also not just about being embarrassed by your family, because it's also the fact that Dipper and Mabel are doing what they want to do rather than hanging out with this gross uncle dude.
Yeah.
And them, like, because it's not like they're just like, oh, I'm so embarrassed by you, I don't want to be seen by you. It's like, no, we want to go have fun and do that thing that we really want to do, instead of having this obligation of spending quality time with a guy who, by the end of the episode, is a very warm, loving character, but at the beginning,
but still
is,
gross.
But oh, he's totally gross.
He's still,
as evidenced by the fact that he even smells his own armpit and gets horrified by it. But like, I think that's an interesting twist to put on it, because it is like. Because like when we were younger, I don't know about you. When I was younger, I was totally embarrassed to be seen in public with my parents, and I was a total little, try not to curse, not to curse, but I was a total little punk about it. Like walking apart from them at the mall and like sitting, like, oh, I don't want to be seen with you at the movie theaters, and that's like, that's bad enough, but this is like actively like, oh, there's something really fun that I want to do.
Yeah.
And I have obligation. And the end of it is really cool, because like, and I like how they tie the camera back in at the end with him taking pictures of it.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
That was good.
But yeah, like it's funny, because when I was younger, I used to do that thing where I would sit apart from my parents if I went to the movies. Oh God, what a horrible person I was back then.
Kids.
But now, like, I'm very close to my mom, and we'll probably try to go have lunch or do something every once a week at least. And we, like, she learned how to text in the past year and a half. So, man, them text messages are blowing up. And I can't think of anything more fun in the world than going to the movies with my mom. Like, I enjoy that now as an adult. And I want to go back in time and be like, yo, dude. This is good. Like, you don't even know, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're such a little snot. I want to punch you in the face, because this is one day you're going to really enjoy having quality time with your parents.
More importantly, one day you're going to miss that you missed out on this.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, it's like, no, I totally lost my train of thought. I was thinking about you beating yourself up as a little kid. Yeah. Oh man.
I would beat myself up as a little kid for so many reasons, not just that reason. And I'm sure that younger me would come to future me and beat him up too.
Yeah.
It would be a Royal Rumble of self.
It would be Jet Li's The One, starring Eugene as the Jet Li. Well, for me, like, I was raised mostly like, I don't have the same parent experience as you, because like, I was not raised by my parents. I was raised by my cousin. Who, and when I say cousin, I mean she is my, like, great 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 cousin. She's like my grandmother's age.
She's your gruzzin.
She's my gruzzin, because I think it's four greats, something like that. But she's like my grandmother's age, and so I related especially hard to this episode of going like, having an elderly relative, an older relative, you know, where it's like that. But I had that same thing of, because. I was raised mostly by her, and then being around all of her immediate family, which was like her mom and then aunts and uncles. So I was around old people like this, feeling like this, being around like old Grunkle Stans.
Okay, just making sure. Why, by old people, do you mean Grunkle Stan, or do you mean the old crazy old dude.
No. I mean, like, Grunkle Stan styles. Like, I've got so many, like, weird story of, like, all... And I've got just words in my brain that nobody else my age knows because I was around so many old people as a little kid using words like calling the refrigerator an icebox or calling the couch a divan. Or
I don't even know. I've never even heard that word.
Yeah, it's like that's the divan or like, you know, just a whole litany of
tumping.
Tumping is not one of them. But we had like there's all these words that I have because it was from being around all these old people. And most of them in my life are dead now. So it's I mean, thankfully, my cousin that raised me is not dead yet. But like watching this episode did. And I definitely had the thing, though, of wanting to get away from her. I didn't want to be around her at the mall, that all of that same stuff. But it was different because she's even older. So watching this episode, I was like, oh, man,
need to call her.
I need to be nicer.
Well, it's funny because like as we are now adults, quote unquote,
air quote adults. As we are now adults recording this podcast about a children's cartoon show.
As we are now adults, it is funny because you used to, even like people who used to be like 40s or 50s, right? When you were younger, you were like, you're like, I have nothing in common with them. And now it's like the age of where we're at, all that kind of fades away. We're like people who, like, we have friends who are probably like in their older 40s or in their 50s, and like people that we see like on a semi-regular basis. And like when you go and talk to someone who in my mind still looks like an adult to me,
yeah,
and then we actually have this real conversation where you're like, oh man, he's talking to me like I'm like one of him, you know?
Oh no
Oh my god. But it's weird because like it is evidence of the fact that like, oh man, old people are cool.
Well, you start getting that thing, you realize, like, I think we're getting to that point too where you start going like, man, I am so curious about all of the knowledge you have of stuff that like I will never experience because like the world is so different. And I've gotten to where I'm asking so many questions to my older relatives now about stuff like, I was like, what was it like when McDonald's started? Or like, do you remember? I remember like one time not too long ago, like I was at my cousin's house and I just went into her room and I was like, do you remember how much a hamburger cost when McDonald's opened? And just, I hate to use that McDonald's example twice, but there's been a bunch of things where I've just gone like, what was that like? You know, and I'm so curious to know. I mean, and I think that's a thing that a lot of people start going like, oh, these people are going to be, I hope people feel this way where you're going like, these people could be gone soon. Like, I wish I had gotten more of their knowledge. Well, like my Uncle Russell, who would really be like my Grunkle Russell, who's one of the people I was around when I was growing up. He was in multiple wars. He was at that age where he hit several wars. He was in one of the world wars, and then he was in another one. I think he was in World War II and the Korean War. Maybe. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, what? Sure.
I was too young when I was being told about
we
this.
We failed U.S. history, guys. Yeah, exactly. Or world history, whatever. Who
history.
Cares?
We're done. Look, ask me when Quicksilver first appeared, and I'll be able to tell you. But he used to have a picture in his room when we would go visit them of a ship. It was like a photograph of a naval ship being blown up. And I was like, that's weird. And then one day I asked him what that was about. And he said, that's a picture someone took of the, because he was in the Navy. He's like, that's a picture someone took of the ship I was on right as it got blown up. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, the ship got blown up. And like, we were in the water. Like, a lot of people I knew died. And it's like, I wish I was so young when he was telling me about this. Obviously, he was trying to tell me sort of like a kid-friendly version of it. But like, I wish that I could go back now and like listen to that story so intently.
Oh, yeah.
Like, please tell me all about it.
Well, it's funny because like one time I was at home when I was on break from school, and I was going through, like, my parents had moved from their house to an apartment, and I was looking for something that I like kept at the house in like this closet full of boxes. And I was digging through all this stuff, and I found these like little like plaques that had my dad's name on it, and it was like a patent for like some ionization. So my dad was a chemical engineer. He had a PhD in chemistry. I am the dumbest person when it comes to science, which is the most like strident evidence of it skipping a generation. Like, my dad and me used to get into the hugest fights in high school when he tried to teach me how to do my chemistry homework because I couldn't do it, and he just could not understand how his son, fruit of his loins, could be like, how do you not understand what a covalent bond is or whatever? I'm like, I don't understand. And we'd be like yelling at each other, and my mom would just be sitting there just like looking at us like, you guys need to like separate or whatever. But like, he had a patent for like some ionization of like electron whatever. And I was like looking at, and there was like multiple patents in there. And I was just like, what are these? And he was like, oh, when I was in law, PhD school. Sure.
That's what it's called.
PhD school. I worked
when
on
I was at Brainiac University.
He's like, I worked on this like team where us, me and two other guys, like invented this thing that like changed this thing about chemistry.
No big NBD. Yeah, NBD. No Dylan Todd. NBD.
Dylan Todd NBD. And I was just like, what? Like that like is the weird. I was like, why don't you have these out somewhere? Like on display proudly, like on a necklace that you wear around in public. Like, I can't believe that. And he's just like, oh, just whatever. I don't care. And I was just like, I had no earthly idea. And so I tried to ask him what it was, and he started talking, and I was like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about anymore. He's like, you can read my thesis, and just like, it's like a 2,000-page thing. I was like, no, it's cool. Just the plaques are cool. But yeah, like, as evidence, the fact that we are, even though we are adults, we're still snots. Yeah. I'm going to tell this story is that we were doing this event at Free Comic Book Day in Memphis, and I was wearing I was wearing a Stussy shirt. It was a Love and Rockets Stussy, like, limited edition shirt, right? And if anybody is around our age group, they know that back in high school or middle school, Stussy was like a big skater brand or whatever. And then it went away for a while and it came back, and it's kind of still there as like this boutique brand. And it was just a picture of this comic character with a guitar smashing something, and she had this speech bubble coming out of it, and it just said Stussy in really big letters. And one of our friends who...
Do we want to name names?
No, we're not going to name names. Right. But it was so funny because like he's a bit older than us.
Yeah, he's like... He's not like way older.
No, he's not
older. He's probably about like 10 years older than us, maybe.
And so he walked by and was like, what is Stussy? And me and Chris just looked at each other.
We both had this moment of like, real quick, our eyes darted at each other. And then we looked back.
And I said, it's just a clothing brand. And he goes, oh. And he walks away. And then we immediately turned to each other as soon as he was out of earshot. And we went, oh my God, you're so old. You're so old. Like, get out of here, old man. You're so old. Oh, karma's going to get us back someday, man.
Someday. Never. Never.
We're going to be like, what is this? They're going to go, oh, you're so old, man.
No, they will do the same thing.
They'll just be courteous.
Like, they'll be like, oh, well, this is a thing so that we can get our crystal pods into our whatever. And we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, what are these three seashells for?
Yeah, like, oh, that. Don't worry about that. And we walk off and they're like, oh, my God, they're so old.
They're so old. I always laugh because Todd Glass, who's a comedian, he's like 40 something now, and he has a bit in his stand-up act where he talks about when he was little, like 14, 15, him and his friends would do this thing where they'd come up and they'd be like, looking like an old decrepit man, and they'd be like, oh, who are you? And they're like, I'm an old man, I'm like 40. And he's like, thinks back on doing that and just going, oh God, what an idiot I was back then.
It's so funny though, like, weird shows what snots we are too. That's like, still how often that
Stussy story
comes back up. Something will happen, we'll just get out of here, old man.
It has nothing to do with our friend. It has everything to do with our reflexive reaction. And we like, it's just like, it just proves how much we are still these snot-nosed little 12-year-olds in our heart of hearts.
Which I think is actually, it's kind of good for us to realize that, because like, I was talking to somebody, I don't remember who it was, but I was talking to somebody who was older than me not too long ago, and they were talking about how no matter how old you are, you keep thinking when you're that little bit older, you're going to have it all figured out, and you're not going to be, you're going to, one day you're going to be that grown up that you've always thought you were going to, you'll be an adult and then you'll get it. And it's like, no matter what, you keep just, you go along the path and you learn new things, but you stay the same, you still never figure it out. You still never you know, you're still confused. And
yeah, I have a great story that relates like to that. So, like, we're in our... Do we want to say how old we are?
No.
Okay, we won't say how old we are. Whatever, our friends know how old we are. Yeah. So anyways, I have a...
We're in our teens.
Yeah, we are obviously middle schoolers. One of my best friends growing up, she had a little sister. And growing up, she always used to be like my little sister. And so one time I was in New York and I...
Everyone is going to know how old you are because you referenced that Casey and JoJo song. All
right, I'm 31. Whatever. So, oh man, maybe they didn't listen to one and you just spoiled the Casey and JoJo drop that's coming. Anyway, so I met up with my friend's little sister in New York when I was visiting once. We went and had lunch. And she had just broken up or had some horrible drama with her boyfriend. And she's like 22, something like that. So eight years younger than me, right?
A baby.
Yeah, a baby. No wisdom in her at all. And she was having this like really bad drama with her boyfriend. And she was just really kind of torn up about it. And I was talking to her and trying to like make her feel better. And I'm sorry, Chris just walked away for a second. It really distracted me.
I'm sorry.
So she was really torn up about it, and she just looks at me, and she just goes, "Eugene, this gets easier, right? Like this stuff, right?" And like she was looking at me with such hopeful eyes, like, "Please tell me this gets easier." And I just go, "No, like not at all. Like it does not get any easier the older that you get. I'm sorry that in the 8 years I have on you, I can't give you any hope that you were going to get to a place where it makes more sense."
I think the thing that does get easier, and this can be if you are not at this age,
right?
Yet,
that the light of the fire in your eyes goes out, yes, you no longer care.
You stop caring as much. That's the big deal. All this drama, all the same stuff still happens, but as you get older, you just stop caring as much about it because you've been through it more than once.
Oh, and because you can drink. Yeah. A lot too, which really helps.
It really helps. Hopefully there's a lot of kids listening to this and they will understand. Oh my god, we're gonna have to edit.
No,
all
it's
this
a, no, okay,
it, kids, that's a
we
joke.
We are joking. I don't drink at all, never. Anyways,
first of all there's not gonna be any kids listening to this. Second of all, I think that really is an important thing for people to, and I would have to imagine that most of the people that are actually going to be listening to this probably do already know this, but it does get easier only because you don't care as much because you've been through it before.
Yeah.
It still sucks and it's still, you know, you still have terrible things happen, but you are able, you're more equipped to deal with them.
I feel like we've gotten far off the topic.
It's fine though, man. It all happened naturally though. So, I mean, I feel no shame. I feel no shame in how this thing meanders because it's like, if it happens naturally, that's okay.
But I guess what I will say in conclusion is that, I'm going to call my mom after this is done.
Yeah, I'm probably
tell her how much I love her, how much I appreciate all those times that she put up with me being a little snot-nosed brat as a kid. And,
I've got a lot of family I need to send some thank you cards to, I think.
Thanks a lot, Alex Hirsch, for making us feel horrible about ourselves as kids. It's cool that this show can actually make us as grown men feel these things because it was a show also about a monster named the Gobble Wonker.
Yeah. And on top of all of these feelings, we also got to sit here and like we were laughing the whole time together.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this show right now, call your parents, call one of your family members you were a jerk to at one point and just be like, "Hey, I'm sorry I was such a brat back then," because let's face it, you probably were a brat back then. And watch more Gravity Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Get it on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So GravityFallsGossiper.com, GravityFallsGossiper@gmail.com, GFGossiperCast on Twitter.
Tweet at Disney. Tell them that you like the show. Look, here's the thing. I know that it is really, really easy to get shows for free on the internet, but we want this show to keep going. So it's important to watch this show when it's on, or like to set your TiVo for it. Like, make sure that, or to buy it on iTunes. Do something to actually let Disney know that you like it, besides just downloading it illegally and then talking about it on Twitter. We're trying to do these kinds of things.
And he showed me a text message that was very hard for me to understand while I was trying to get through that.
We're a little loopy. We recorded two episodes in a row. And look, we're going to get back next episode. Oh, the next episode's great.
Next episode is fantastic.
As far as I can tell, there's really no moral of the next episode. So
we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about that. And look, I'm going to say that the next three, this show just keeps getting better, guys.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So
tweet at us.
The best thing of this episode is also the fact that he says, what does he say?
Banjo spittle. He says banjo spittle. He says he scab-doodled away.
I'll leave. all right. GravityFallsGosper.com. Anything else to say, Chris?
Tweet at us.
No, already said all
email
that.
Us. Did you say all of that?
I said all of that.
Was this when I was walking away?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Was this when I was taking a picture of us recording?
But yeah, so check for us next time, and we'll see you when we do another one.
When we do the next one. From now on, I want to spend them all. Happy summer down at Gravity Falls, y'all. I want it all. The mystery's call. Happy summer down at Gravity Falls, y'all. From now on, I'll never go back. Happy summer at the Mystery Shack, yo. Matter of fact, I want every summer back, 'cause I wasted everyone that wasn't at.